Welcome back to Full Circle Reviews. This episode, we will be reviewing the 2002 horror sci-fi flick, 28 Days Later. This was a Luke pick. So, since it's Luke's pick, I don't think I ever saw it, or if I did, it was a long time ago and I don't remember it. Justin, you've seen it, yes?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Probably three, four, five, six, good amount of times.
Okay, but it's been a while since you've seen it.
Correct.
So, initial reaction on seeing it this time?
I like the movie. It, at parts, it was a little slower than I had remembered, but I wouldn't say that it dragged. I thought the storyline is excellent. I think Cillian Murphy absolutely kills it. I think probably one of the only things I could say bad about it is I just didn't like the animal activists premise of it, just because I felt like there's plenty of reasons why this type of outbreak or situation could happen and why we got to bring our animals into it.
Well,
other than that,
the animal activists or the animals actually suffering?
The animal activism within it that led to the whole outbreak.
I can answer that.
Sure.
So the story behind it is that there's two scientists that were trying to develop an anger inhibitor on people that have, you know, anger problems, like convicts and everything. And to do that, they needed to do animal testing. And what ended up happening in the storyline is that they ended up using as a method to administer it the Ebola virus. And what that ended up doing,
like a carrier.
Yeah. And what that ended up doing is it created the opposite effects, hence the name the Rage virus. And so they, in the beginning, I believe they were going through the proper channels, you know, animal testing and everything. And I want to say that the government was aware of what they were doing or what they're trying to do at first, but not aware after they found out that it did the exact opposite, because I think the government might try to weaponize it at that point. But yeah, that's why the animals were being tested on first, because it was originally intended to be something that would be good for society. Like something that people who have anger management
issues.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I love the aspect that it's not the slow marching, fucking walking dead zombies. You know what I mean? It was pretty trailblazing for me because the first time I saw it, I never saw a rendition of a zombie movie like that.
And there's some contention there too, because I mean, they're not zombies. They're alive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I remember at the time that being talked about a lot is the fact that, you know, oh, they're not zombies, and people like hardcore zombie movie lovers took issue with it. So, but yes, I do agree with you. The fast moving, uber aggressive zombies are
ridiculously scary.
Yes. And a quick infection rate.
The instant. It was depending on how much blood you get in your body. It depends. I mean, usually it's within seconds to 30 seconds.
Right.
Seconds. It's ridiculous, though.
Yeah, and it seemed like after 28 Days Later originally came out, you started seeing more movies with this type of aggression.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it became like the new trend.
It did. Because at that point,
that's why it's a trailblazer.
At that point, like the Romero zombies don't look threatening whatsoever.
At all.
Excellent.
At all.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think, Kristen?
I really liked it. And for the zombie-ishness, I know technically they're alive and it's an infection rather than a zombie, a corpse being brought back.
Right.
But very much synonymous with what a zombie type flick would look like. And we've talked about this before. I am not a zombie fan. I don't like zombie stuff. I find it gross. I think that it was well done. I actually think that some of the artistic pieces of this movie were phenomenal.
The visuals.
Yes.
Yeah. I would totally agree with you.
The film style, him walking through desolate London.
It's pretty awesome.
Was pretty damn spectacular.
It was epic.
So there was things I really liked, things that were, you know, maybe not strong suits for me. I love me some Cillian Murphy, but he looked terrible during the whole movie.
Even at the end.
Yeah. Hurt my heart a little bit.
I would agree. He does look terrible, but he looks appropriate for somebody who was a month into this
post-apocalypse.
No, I agree with that.
But yeah, I do agree with you. He's a handsome guy, and they just tore him up on this one.
They did.
Yeah.
So overall, I would say that I enjoyed it.
Right.
It, probably not a favorite genre, but it was okay. So
I'll take that.
With it being your pick, my friend, will you tell us why you picked it? who the target audience is, and a synopsis, please.
Okay, it came out in 2002.
Yes. Right?
Okay, so in 2002, I was 20 years old, and I remember seeing this in the theaters with my girlfriend at the time, Vanessa. And it was unlike anything I'd ever seen. The film style, and I'm sure you'll get into that a little bit, it's the graininess, the I don't know what else other word I'd use. Mm-hmm.
But almost it was like an 8mm.
It looked almost like that, yeah. And it was just so unique. And it gave me a feeling that movies usually don't. And it's just like an overwhelming feeling of dread throughout the entire movie, of how things can collapse at any moment, regardless of how safe you feel. Mm-hmm. And the synopsis that I'll give a short one, is basically it is, I want to say London. Mm-hmm. And we basically follow the character of Jim, and he wakes up 28 days after a outbreak of the rage virus has decimated London. He wakes up from a coma, and just we follow along with him, his confusion as he's walking through completely abandoned London for 100 awesome visuals. And he meets various survivors, learns a little bit more about what caused this. And basically the whole movie is just them trying to stay alive and trying to stay one step ahead of the uber aggressive infected.
Can I go back to something you said for a second?
Yeah.
What the fuck would you guys do if you woke up from a coma, have half your head shaved, like big ass scar, right? And literally like walk. God, where's the nurse? Doctor, where the fuck am I? Like, how do you think you guys would respond?
That's where my usage of the adjective dread comes from. Is that an adjective, dread? No.
I think dreadful.
Dreadful, there we go. Because I did put myself in that position. On first and foremost, you have the confusion of what is this? Second, What happened? You haven't been fed or nursed anything, and his body mass kind of displayed that.
Yeah. Emaciated.
And then your first encounter with the infected is a priest that you end up having to attack. It's just
terrifying.
The whole thing about not knowing what's happening, but just knowing that everyone around you is dead or missing, is very terrifying.
It is. I feel like it would be a real struggle with trying to understand if it's really happening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And understand, am I imagining this? Am I dreaming this?
And he even says that when he runs in the other survivors. I wake up and I'm hallucinating or something.
Right. Right. Is this an out-of-body experience? Mm-hmm. Is this hell? What is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Justin?
Like, I think at first I would be absolutely terrified because I'd feel like I just woke up into a horror movie. You know what I mean? Because there's nobody around. There's like blood on the walls. I mean, straight out of a horror flick, right? And then I think my brain would kick in and my opportunist side would be like, fuck yeah, now I can have anything I wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the reason I ask, you know, you guys is because like in some ways I could see the scenario turning out to be like almost like an introvert's dream. Like, you tell me I don't have to deal with people anymore. Like, all I have to worry about is survive. Like, I can find a way to survive. I can do whatever the hell I want to entertain myself and live my life.
You're talking about before he realizes that the danger
of being alone,
of the infection.
Correct.
Gotcha.
And be like, you know, I can go own anything I want, do whatever I want. I don't have to report to anybody. I don't have to have any conversations. Like, I can truly just live my life any way I possibly want to. You know what I mean? Instead of maybe just trapping myself in my house because I don't want to deal with anybody. Right. Hmm. But then at the same time, I think through the movie, you know, watching it, I realized that for me, the movie's portrayal is that being alone truly is hell.
Hmm.
Because I don't think he would have been able to survive if he stuck by his own.
He wouldn't.
You know what I mean? And how long would it be until you truly go mentally insane because you have nothing to talk to?
Well, it's interesting you say that too, because that is like the exact dynamic of Selena. Is her whole thing is, you know, survival as good as it gets. You know, I'd kill you in a heartbeat. You know, she's just trying to make it on her own, basically, mm-hmm. because she can't rely on anybody else, really. And she comes to realize that there is a benefit to allowing people in and taking along Hannah and Frank. And I mean, Jim was a load in the beginning, an absolute load. And she took him on despite her assertions that she wouldn't if he slowed her down. So she kind of came full circle, I guess, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And the characters changed their kind of their outlook.
Yeah, I mean, I think for some people, like, fuck yeah, my annoying ass neighbor's gone. It's about fucking time.
Oh, being an introvert, I could totally see. Bit. Yeah, all as right. long as there wasn't like, you know, vomit, blood vomiting infection around, I could dig it.
Cool. See, it's a little extreme for me, even as an introvert, just a little bit, a little extreme. But I think the movie itself was well done, right? I really liked the film style. I felt like it gave a really good portrayal of, for example, the dread, mm-hmm. the confusion. I felt like the way it was filmed, it made it almost feel like you were watching a documentary of something that had previously happened because they filmed it in such a 70s-ish style. Even the music mm-hmm. and the soundtrack.
It was pretty epic.
Yeah.
Felt like it was totally done back in time.
I totally agree. The theme is on my Spotify.
And what I liked about that is that it almost in that way gave you a sense of hope because I knew it wasn't meant to be like a found footage. Mm-hmm. So somebody has to come out of this, right? If it's being filmed in the past. So I kind of felt like there's somewhere that this is going to go. Mm-hmm. There's some hope that it's going to work out mm-hmm. in some way, shape or form.
Sure.
So, I thought that was really interesting. I really liked the dynamic and the way that the relationship changed mm-hmm. between Jim and, is it Selena?
Selena, yeah.
Okay. Between Jim and Selena, I felt like it did develop. Some of it was a little bit debate or
soapy.
Yeah. A little bit. I was able to guess it was going to happen. Predictable.
Yeah, predictable.
But at the same time.
No, I do agree. Though.
It needed that element. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that. I really, really was pulled into the movie by that desolate London walking through confusion because you really don't know what happened.
You know, it takes like 5 minutes from when he wakes up for him to finally start putting stuff together. And it happens when he grabs the newspaper mm-hmm. and all you see, I paused it. It's about how Blair declares state of emergency, you know, government roadblocks are overrun. So you get a sense then of what's happened. But one of the things that I think is an absolute goldmine, don't you want to see how everything fell apart?
Definitely.
Yes.
I'm dying to see something like that.
Yeah.
And the only thing that goes into it is a comic book series where it shows just the perspective of one family trying to survive right when the outbreak happens.
Hmm. I was going to say, because I don't even think they hinted on that in 28 Weeks Later either.
Hmm. No.
I do wish they spent just a smidge more time developing kind of the purpose. I know they raced through it pretty quickly at the beginning, mm-hmm. but the purpose of why they were developing the rage virus, because I feel like they could have done a nice modern twist on like a Jekyll and Hyde mm-hmm. of trying to isolate that anger and that danger in mankind. That's exactly what Jekyll and Hyde was aimed at doing.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of do it because what I'm referring to when I went into the background of it is another comic book series,
right?
Where they go over the whole development phase. And I just wish it was on,
but just film. Not within the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, we are following along with Cillian Murphy's confusion and
they want you to have that
exactly.
feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. I just wish at some point, maybe not at the beginning, at some point they would have dove a little bit deeper into that aspect of the storyline, even if they didn't have to show it.
Yeah. They get very little exposition when it comes to that. And it's usually only done by like the army major, Henry mm-hmm. West, and his sergeant. I mean, just they talk about the past and they just hint at how things fell apart, but they don't really go into it. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to know that.
Well, I think part of that is done mm-hmm. intentionally, obviously, yes. because they, in my opinion, they want to, it really invokes so many different thoughts and is going to, that situation that he's in is going to be received and resonate with people in different ways. Mm-hmm. Right. So like I said earlier, like, you know, oh, I can own whatever I want, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can do whatever I want, live my life, whatever, however I want. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what's the purpose of life if nobody else exists?
It's true. Yeah. There's a Twilight Zone that goes in exactly that too. Mm-hmm. It's the, where the guy has a stopwatch that stops time for mm-hmm. everyone around him, but him, and it ends up breaking after he breaks into a bank and realizes, what's the use of having all this money now if I can't use
it? Do anything with it. Yeah. Interesting. So I just realized I totally skipped over talking about the cast and the director. So I apologize for that.
All good.
It's all good.
So this was directed by Danny Boyle, who has also done
Sunshine. Another visually stunning movie.
Or Killian Murphy looked a little better.
He did. He also did The Beach.
I love that movie.
I know you do. Yesterday, which is the Beatles movie.
Okay. I don't think I've seen it.
No, we haven't seen it. And Slumdog Millionaire.
Love.
I haven't seen it.
It's on my list.
So this was also written by Alex Garland.
Okay. Not familiar.
Me neither. Cast is Killian.
Did a great job though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Cast is Killian Murphy and Naomi Harris. Mm-hmm. And Megan Burns. Bums or Burns?
Bums. Is Hannah, I'm guessing. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Noah Huntley. Christopher Elkson. Elkson?
Yes, as the Major Henry West, I think.
Yes. And then there was Brendan Gleeson, who, for you Harry Potter fans, was Alistair Moody.
Nice. I like him.
So
he's a pretty good actor.
Yeah. So let's talk about the characters a little bit. We talked about Jim kind of being confused, and we talked about some of the relationship with him and Naomi Harris. Selena. How did you guys like them in those roles? How did you like Naomi Harris's portrayal?
I don't know that I really know Naomi Harris that well, at least at the time. You know, now I'm thinking, isn't she in the Bond movies?
I'm sure she's been in something, but
I'm looking right now to be sure.
I thought she was terrific in this role. You know, her portrayal of like the true survivalist, you know exactly, what I mean? Yeah. And like fucking ruthless, was spot on. Yeah. She's definitely the lady from the Bond movie. She plays Moneypenny.
Yes, she is. And she was, Shriek in Venom. Yeah.
In Venom.
Oh, wow.
She was Calypso in Pirates of the Caribbean. She's also in Rampage, Moonlight, et cetera, et cetera.
So she is pretty decent background.
Mostly British movies.
And mostly supporting characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought she did a fantastic job, and it was interesting to see her develop, you know, as the more time she spent with Jim, actually, and the more hoops and terrifying things they had to overcome. I thought she did a great job. I really like the character that Brendan Gleeson played.
Frank,
you know, I thought without that character, some aspects of this movie just wouldn't have been the same.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And some of the others, sure, but like them three are really the ones that stuck out to me.
I agree. As far as Selena goes, you're right. Totally right about the ruthless survivor. And they show that very early on when Mark fights off the infected at Jim's house. And she just doesn't hesitate when she sees that he could possibly most likely be infected because there's blood everywhere. She shows that. And that really gets across to us, the audience, that, yeah, she's cutthroat. And she means it when she says she'll do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But I do. And I also agree that her transition was enjoyable to watch. That whole dynamic of getting softer due to Jim's presence and eventually having to come to be like a mother to Hannah as well.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was almost like she was becoming human again.
Yes. Perfectly said.
Well, and I feel like that takes us into kind of a more modern-ish talking point in isolation.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you think about the last 2 years, especially in places like California and New York, where we were in lockdowns and things like that, did you guys start to see any semblance of people becoming different
after isolation? A lot of people changed. I think people's values changed. I think for the high functioning percentage of the population, they got very introspective and learned a lot about themselves and what was truly important to them. And the rest didn't. I think a lot of them lived in fear and isolated themselves. And, you know, whether it was warranted or not, isn't for me to say. You know, I have my own opinions, but I think there's a lot of people who are still reeling and trying to find their sense of normal and trying to find their place back in the world.
I couldn't agree more. Well said.
Thank you.
I thought that was an interesting tie-in because you know, you see it very clearly, the isolation in this movie. And of course, the isolation that we've all experienced is not nearly as this drastic. Yeah. But if you talk about an outbreak and the change in human nature as a result, it's happened today. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, for better or for worse. Right. Some people for better, others maybe not so.
Yeah.
I mean, that is one crazy aspect of the movie, right? Because if I'm remembering correctly, at the end, like, he realizes it's just there. Everywhere else is fine, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. They quarantined. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I thought was a great twist.
It was a great twist because you're like, holy shit.
But
then,
but Farrell makes a good point. It's like, how could infection cross the oceans? I mean, I guess in theory it could, like a stowaway on a...
But maybe not this kind of infection because it is the rage. Like, everybody on that plane would die before it made it across the ocean.
True, but like, say like a tanker truck or a tanker ship or something like that.
Or would it just mutate and like, go by bird?
Something like that, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I agree. It was a great...
It was
a great element to it that gave Jim hope. And then seeing the plane overhead when allegedly there was no planes in existence... Mm-hmm. Was another hope spot for him where he realized, okay, I'm getting out of this.
Right. I agree. So Luke, this was your pick. Why did you pick it?
It's just one of my favorites. It's
why
the dread. Dive. Well, the dread I sensed in the theater when I was watching this was tangible. It was just, I wanted more. And you guys know what, more than anybody, usually I don't want more when it comes to a movie, but this, I wanted to know more. I wanted to have a lore for me to like investigate. I wanted to see the backgrounds of the characters and see, you know, why they were the way they are. It just gave me an interest in something that I didn't really have at that point in my life. I was 20 years old with ADHD and this made me focus.
Okay.
So I think it's, to answer your question from earlier, I think it is geared towards young adults.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Do you think if this would have came out before 9/11, you would have felt different about that?
That's a good question.
I don't know. That is a good question.
And the reason I ask is because this movie kind of exposes the fact that social constructs are not needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That everything is weak when it all comes down to it. And so this movie was probably written before 9/11, but released shortly after.
So when you say everything was weak, you mean like how easily society fell?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. That, you know, we have this system that we all live by and it's thoroughly thought out and planned. So to ensure that things like this don't happen and we all fit in our cubby holes and do what we're told and live our lives how, you know, people feel we should live them or how we feel based on the things we see and we're told. Right. But when shit really goes down, all of that goes out the window immediately.
I could see what you're saying. However, if a virus, this exact virus existed, regardless of how strong we are, things would be decimated. I mean, think about the incubation period and just how easily it is to get infected too. But I see where you're coming from.
The only reason I ask is because, you know, after 9/11, it was like, you know, we were this invincible power that couldn't be touched. Mm-hmm. And the country was reeling. You know what I mean? It was really damaged. It was our generation's, I hate to say it, but Pearl Harbor. You know what I mean?
Like Kennedy assassination.
Or Kennedy assassination. Devastating. Yeah, something devastating that really made people question the systems.
I feel like they reeled, but they also like gathered together for a short time.
They did. They did. But, you know, people like you started researching and going deep into these things to find answers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's why I asked, because I feel like if this movie would have came out prior to, I don't know that it would have had such a cult following that it did and such an impact, because it would have, I don't think it would have resonated with as many people the same way, because, you know,
it wouldn't be as relevant.
It wouldn't be as relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, even though, like I said earlier, it's a trailblazer, you know what I mean? It changed the genre, in my opinion.
It did.
I just feel like
a lot of things,
the timeline and how impactful 9/11 was really had an effect on the way the movie was received. That's all I was trying to get across, I guess.
So you make a really interesting point there, because that's actually one of the themes that I have written down.
Really?
Is that infrastructure and social order of society are designed to protect human and they actually create illusions of safety.
Mm-hmm.
And so without those,
what do we have?
Right. And so what was really interesting and what I had picked up on, here's my symbolism. The zombie-ish, the infected, okay, represent a complete loss of control. In essence, it's an erosion of the social artifice that's constructed by institutional and social learning, basically to reveal the animalistic monster within.
True that.
Which makes a good point.
And where people can truly go when it comes down to their survival and like, who they can turn into and like, what people are truly capable of.
Like Jim's transformation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
So I think that was an awesome lead in to the point I wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with 9/11. I like that we talked about kind of what may have influenced this of being so relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to talk about a couple of things that have directly been impacted or influenced by this movie.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad to provide the assist. And thanks curious. For slamming it home, Shaq.
Alley-oop. So, Luke, if you remember, you had said at the beginning that the opening scene is deadpan of another show.
Walking Dead. And I hate to say it, most people think 28 Days Later ripped off Walking Dead. When in reality...
It came way before.
Right.
Way before. But
nobody wants to like call out Walking Dead. That it is almost a shot for shot remake. He wakes up in the hospital after being in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything's devastation around him.
Just everything that happens from after the realization of devastation is different.
Right. Walking mm-hmm. Dead. Right. But still, I just felt kind of insulted when I finally got around to watching the first episode. I was sitting there just going,
what?
Well, yeah. Like,
did you watch the show as a whole?
I mean, I saw the first two seasons and then it got really old really fast mm-hmm. for me.
Gotcha.
Okay. I liked Shane. I'll say that. I like Shane Kirk.
Mm-hmm. And I liked the Asian dude. What's his name?
The one that Nick wanted to dress up as?
No, that was Negan. He was one of the best villains I've ever seen in anything, period. But I agree with you. Season two is kind of season three. Season four on is fucking fantastic.
Up to season 28.
I don't even know if that's still going. I haven't watched it.
They have, all right,
it's on Netflix. Anyways, continue back to the great movie 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm.
So I also think it was highly influential in Quiet Place. If you remember in Quiet Place, they have in the second one, they have the radio broadcast.
True.
Coming from the island.
Okay. Yeah.
Giving basically the SOS.
That there is hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much just twisted it off of this.
Very true. I never even thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And wasn't it, didn't they do a remake of like Night of the Living Dead or like The Living Dead or something shortly after this, where they went from like slow moving zombies to like, I remember like a little girl.
Yes.
And then she started attacking the parents. Yes. And she was fucking fierce.
It's the one where they all end up in the mall.
Correct.
Yeah. I don't remember what it's called. It's something of The Living Dead, but you're right. Mm-hmm. It was uber aggressive.
I mean, they changed the original and the whole premise, in my opinion, just based on the success of 28 Days Later.
Yes. Everyone was trying to kind of jump on the bandwagon mm-hmm. that make films.
I mean, genre. It could be argued that Maze Runner, the virus that
yep.
went and sure. attacked, you know, the nation or the world, was kind of drawn off from this as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's inspired a lot.
So Justin, you made a comment about this being a trailblazer for its genre. Do you want to dive a little deeper into that?
Well, and the reason I say that is because it's a post-apocalyptic movie, right? Which I guess could technically be its own genre.
Sure.
But for some reason, I still see it as a zombie movie.
Of course.
But it broke the mold. You know what I mean? No longer.
I crossed
was
over.
It just the fear of a crowd of the undead coming at you trying to eat your brains? You know what I mean? Whereas before that, you had the blob, just this slow moving thing coming at you that eventually was going to consume you, right?
Yeah.
Same idea. And so I thought what the writer and, you know, the screenplay, what they did with this was fantastic, because that rage in itself, I can only imagine how many children, teenagers had nightmares and are still having nightmares. I don't know that we had seen anything like this, mm-hmm. like that kind of animalistic behavior in a living person.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys say that this was the first time in the horror genre that they made a monster fast? Because if you look at like the '80s and seventies,
with the slow moving slashers,
I mean, even like Freddy Krueger would walk down the alleyway with knives on the wall. Jason never ran.
No, neither did Michael Myers.
It was just a constant like looming threat.
Yeah.
It wasn't, this could happen at any moment. Yes, I agree. So it set the bar. I mean, look at World War Z, for example, which I think is almost
comparable,
exactly the same, except for the, you know, the blood aspect of it. But the infection takes 12 seconds to set in. I think he counted.
Yeah. I think the only difference between those is the infected in World War Z had like a level of intelligence. You know what I mean?
They could create a construct, they work together. I agree.
Yeah. That I think, but obviously they built upon this foundation and had to make it somewhat different. Yeah. Right.
But I think it did change zombie or infection movies completely. Cause I haven't seen a slow moving zombie since this.
Besides The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That's it. That's really it.
Yeah. But she's right. It's true. I can't name a slow moving zombie that's been made.
Mm-mm. Okay. Interesting. So the writer, I mentioned the writer's name earlier and I've already forgotten.
Alex Garland.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So he was actually inspired by H.G. Wells's War of the Worlds.
Really? Like the original radio broadcast that scared a nation?
Yes.
Because wasn't it originally broadcast before television, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When people would sit around and listen to the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting too.
I wonder how though, like just the reaction it gave the public.
He was inspired by it in some way, shape or form. Yeah. And he also was inspired by the day of the Trifids.
I've never heard of
it. I can't even read my own writing right now, kids. I'm sorry. But that's where the opening scene is set in a post-apocalyptic London. That's where I got the idea from.
Okay.
But he expanded on it and made it significantly better.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about that a little bit. How do you think that they were able to do that?
With London.
Do you know?
I want to say I've heard it. And it was like they were shutting down as they went along and got shots. Everything behind them was open and available. And they messed up in two different spots where you could see people in the extreme background.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember exactly how they did it.
So they did it at like dusk.
Mm-hmm.
And they shut down particular streets in London and filmed it at dusk and only had a certain amount of hours or time
that's right.
with the light before it would be a cluster for traffic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they had to really work with the city because this was not done in a studio. This was done. They actually shut down London.
Yeah, I think when we had watched it and I was looking into it, like it was one of the first times they were using like set up digital cameras in like different areas. So that way you could feel like it was CCTV.
Yeah. And it did. It did. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Did you know that Ewan McGregor was initially chosen for Jim's character?
No.
I'm glad they didn't do that to us.
Yeah. So he was initially supposed to be
way too vanilla for this type of role.
It wouldn't have been such a hit.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It was that he was initially cast. And it, quote unquote, didn't work out.
Okay.
Well, at least we get an answer.
Second choice, Ryan Gosling.
Straight off, Remember the Titans?
Yeah. Like,
this was before he...
The Notebook.
Yeah.
Wow. But after Murder by Numbers.
That's debatable.
Where's my phone? I'm not sure. And that's an interesting choice, Ryan Gosling. Like the Ryan Gosling now, I could see him playing this type of role.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But back then, when he was kind of an ugly baby face.
I mean, I would never say he was an ugly dude. I think he still looks the same. He just finally filled out as a male. You know what I mean? Okay. He was very, if you remember back to Remember the Titans, he was like the little dude on the team.
He was scrawny, yeah.
You know, he was like Lucas from the movie.
Oh, you're right.
Lucas.
Murder by Numbers was 2002.
Nice. Okay, same year. So maybe he chose that one instead.
Don't know. So then they ended up with McKillian.
Interesting. So I was reading something interesting about this. that Alex Garland wrote the book The Beach, right? And so Danny Boyle also directed The Beach, right? Mm-hmm. And so the book that he had written, it was the same premise and everything. It was like a utopian civilization in Thailand, but the book he wrote had like a zombie aspect to it, like resembling like a zombie outbreak, you know, almost like an insanity and then like a thrush on these people. And that was going to be like the climax of the movie. And then it would come to resolution. Well, they kind of went against that and changed his movie and changed the ending. And with Danny Boyle, you know, same two guys working together. So in turn, there's this thought that that really pissed him the fuck off. And that's what caused him to write this movie.
Interesting.
For real.
Because he wanted that rage. He wanted the breakdown of society from a, you know, same thing. The breakdown of social constructs, mm-hmm. even in a utopian civilization.
So he had the vision. That's, wow. That is interesting.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting, interesting, interesting. So, fun fact. Mm-hmm. The writer, director, and producer have been quoted in September of 2021 that a third movie will come out.
28 months later?
I don't know.
Maybe. That'd be sick. 28 years later?
I've been looking. I've been steadily looking up 28 months later to see if there's any new buzz. And it seems ever since coronavirus, mm-hmm. it's kind of been tabled. But
really?
You said that was in when? What?
2021.
September.
I hope. Yeah. I think they should go back to 28 hours later or something so we could see how everything happened. Yes, I'm dying for that.
Yeah. So fun fact, another fun fact for casting. James McAvoy, who I love. Justin, yeah. I know you love. Mm-hmm. Luke, are you familiar with James mm-hmm. McAvoy? Okay. James McAvoy auditioned to be one of the featured zombies, but he didn't know that's what he was auditioning for. And so when he went to the interview, the folks doing the interview really didn't feel like he would do a good job at this. But they saw that he said that he was a gymnast on his application.
Application. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So they said, you really don't fit this role. Can you do a backflip? And he said, okay. And he did a standing backflip. And they said, thanks. And shook his hand and showed him to the door.
I love fun facts. They're just so out there sometimes.
So,
I could get why they were auditioning people for the role of the
featured zombie is, you know, probably maybe the first one that started chasing him.
Or like the mailer, the soldier that was being held. Yeah.
Yeah. So his reaction to that is, after the backflip that he felt like he's made it all the way to the fucking middle was the quote that James McAvoy gave. Cause he can't even be a zombie.
Yeah. It wasn't until he got his big break.
Yeah. Okay. Did they go into Selena or Naomi Harris's backstory a lot in this? And kind of why she was the way she was?
Yes-ish. I don't think she ever really... No, actually. I remember Mark telling his story. I remember Jim's confusion. I remember... No, I really don't think they did. She was just kind of portrayed as cutthroat and merciless. But you could already easily assume why. It's, I want to say the reason is because she had to murder her own husband.
Close.
Okay.
Very close. So they didn't go into her hardened backstory, which I think wouldn't have hurt because it would have made her more relatable.
I agree.
But basically she had to kill her infected parents to save her brother who in the midst of being saved became infected and then she had to kill her brother.
So it would... Anybody would become
pretty hard
a mess after that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that might have been the one person she was living for.
Yes.
Well, besides herself.
Do you remember Mark's story when he told it to Jim at Jim's house about how they were at the airport trying to buy a ticket onto a plane, even though cash had no value. And they were standing on top of dead bodies because everything had just gone to shit. So that his mm-hmm. story and the way he told it was just so eerie. Thinking about how, you know what, I could totally see that happening. Like because the frenzy and the panic people get when there's that kind of a looming threat, there's no limit to what they will do. Mm-hmm. And so he ends up having to climb on a kiosk and he's looking down and just seeing, you know, he couldn't tell who was infected and who wasn't.
Mayhem.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking mayhem. Ooh. Wow. I mean, the movie really is about nature of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Are there any scenes in the movie that stick out as being especially memorable, likable, disliked, etc.?
It's called Jim's Rampage, and it's the entire revenge scene once Jim is kind of left for dead and he comes back and dispatches the soldiers. But that entire scene, seeing them fall one by one and realizing they weren't this close-knit unit that had this Worsley House, I think it was called, on lock, always sticks out to me. In addition to...
Sorry, our bulldog is snoring right now. It sounds really gross, but it's really just the bulldog.
And then, of course, Mitchell's death and Jim officially, like, almost embracing the rage and enjoying the murder of Mitchell. It was just a very impactful scene to me, seeing him just murder this guy who absolutely had it coming.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an absolute dirtbag. So that's mine. It's just, I love Jim's Rampage.
I 100% agree with you, you know, and I thought it was brilliant for them to have it done this way because it was almost like, you know, we've already broken down all civilization, all the social constructs that we know. And here's one that's existing again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so what can one person just trying to survive do, you know, but to see the transformation and to see how raw he got. I remember the first time I saw it and I was like, holy shit, is he going to come back? Mm-hmm. Like, or is this going to be him now? You know what I mean? Is this going to be his rage, even though he doesn't have the virus and the way he's going to carry on? Is he going to like take Selena's place as this type of person? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And then how they cap that off with him murdering Mitchell and him in shrouded in darkness, breathing heavy, and like her with the machete just shaking like a leaf and hesitating when he steps forward and she sees his irises aren't red. It gives me chills. And he says that's longer than a heartbeat. I mean, he was just like, you know, he had confidence she wasn't going to kill him. But it was just, it was an amazing scene when she realizes, yeah, he's not infected and everything goes to shit again.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent. Justin, do you have any different?
Oh, sorry. I thought Justin gave his.
Did you give
yours? No, I agreed with Luke, but I still think the one that'll stick with me forever is like the whole opening. Mm-hmm. Of the movie, you know, the whole transition from waking up until he sees the first person, you know, just because for me, it was just so eerie and it truly made me think on a level that I had never thought before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It made me think about things.
It was impactful.
Absolutely.
Definitely. It resonated with me. You know what I mean? And it really made me think, what would I do in this type of situation? And what would I value on life? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Obviously until he meets the first person with the rage virus and meets the other people, then everything changes. But to live in this failed environment with nothing left, I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about.
It is.
I mean, is that the place religions are sparked from?
Well, before I go down into my scenes, I just thought of another aspect that was kind of interesting with Quiet Place 2, because he takes the opposite role.
Mm-hmm. He does.
He's kind of
the grizzled survivor who is just all about surviving.
Who had lost everything. He
becomes the heart.
Mm-hmm. He becomes Selena.
To. Right. That's true. That's interesting.
Kind of fun.
Good call, babe.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. So my favorite scenes. Opening scene. Mm-hmm. Desolate London. Fabulous. I've been to London. I love London. Mm-hmm. It was a little nostalgic for me to be able to see the scenes without the hustle and bustle. It's kind of cool. But having been in London, I think it was that much more impactful to me. Seeing it that way. It really was shocking. So that definitely stands out to me.
Yeah, it'd be like seeing Times Square completely empty. Yeah. Like in I Am Legend.
Yes.
Yeah.
But my favorite scene that I think for the raw emotion that's captured and the artistic appeal of it is the scene where they're driving through the gate and it freezes.
And you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And all that happens is the light pans on their faces and it's freeze frame. Mm-hmm.
And they're screaming and
sheer emotion caught in that scene, I thought was just phenomenal.
I agree. And they kind of left it ambiguous with just snippets of Selena performing CPR, you know, trying to get Jim on an operating table. Yeah. You have no idea what's going to happen or what you already know that this movie pulls no punches. So
yeah,
you can't expect anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. That is an awesome scene.
Good call.
And it also, right before it, is a scene that I hadn't even thought of. It's where Hannah gets her revenge on. Mm-hmm. And that was a pretty innovative revenge there. Just driving to the back of the, to the front door of the house, knowing that the zombie or that Mailer would grab Wes through the window. Smart girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked Hannah.
Yeah.
She was a good character.
So they actually filmed an alternate ending first. And then they changed it.
Did it involve a blood transfusion?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I just have what the ending would have been.
Okay.
Okay.
And the original ending, which they changed, was that Jim would die alone in a hospital bed.
Yeah, because they take Frank. They don't kill him.
Okay.
And they take Frank infected and they strap him to a table. And they learn from a doctor who's locked himself in a hospital that the only way to rid the virus is through blood transfusion. They find out Jim's a match. Jim offers to take Frank's place and give his blood to Frank to cure his infection. And then they scrapped it because it wasn't realistic whatsoever, since one drop of blood can infect the whole host. But yeah, it was an interesting thing to read about. I just didn't know how they could possibly make that work.
No, and the reason they changed it wasn't because of the realism. The reason they changed it was because of the depression.
Mm-hmm.
It was too depressing.
I could see why.
That makes sense.
To follow him this whole time for him to just die alone.
Well, then again, yeah, I might have misspoken just now. It might just have been him dying after Selena couldn't revive him. But I just do know I've read that the pitch, said that was what they were going for in the beginning, at least.
You have a pretty good memory when it comes to this shit, so I'm inclined to believe you.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, my friend.
I don't like that we're getting along this well. It's kind of weird.
It happens.
I have a question. So I looked this up and I couldn't find anything on it. So I'm wondering what your interpretation might be.
Okay.
So in the early scene, the very beginning, when he's walking through desolate London, there's two points where they zoom in on a sign that says the Spearmint Gentleman, which I looked up is the Spearmint Rhino Gentleman's Club.
Okay.
It was the number one strip club, the biggest, most popular strip club in London. In fact, there's a ton of locations. When we were in Vegas, they have one.
Mm-hmm. They're everywhere.
They are everywhere.
And they made a point of
zooming in on that twice, with him walking by the Spearmint Gentleman's Club
during a long scene in which we are inclined to pay uber attention
to every little graphic
detail. Into like the historic buildings and everything all around him, and be in awe of everything that is London.
That's interesting.
Do you think that's what it was for? Was just to be inclusive as a testament to
that this is a part of society as well,
or just I mean, they showed Big Ben. They showed all around.
I mean, maybe that's where it originally started and became so big. But I mean, for me, you telling me that now, the first thing that pops in is the owner or CEO of the company must have had a hand in the production of this movie or been one of the money guys.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Hmm. It almost reminds me of Savage Land, like them focusing on that one restaurant.
Yes.
The French cafes or whatever, like same kind of thing. Like
Random,
but there's like obviously there's a reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
has he ever been asked that you know of?
I couldn't find anything, but I looked.
Gotcha.
I looked.
It seems like a movie that's so big on like symbolism and like the visuals and everything that there would be a purpose behind doing it twice.
Yeah. So there was 31 locations in 1989 for the strip club.
Damn.
Obviously. It's now closed, but in London.
In London. Okay.
Yeah. It's the internet for you.
All right. So, all right. Luke, anything I missed that you want to bring up or would like to talk about?
I would like to talk about the soldiers.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, do you guys are there any soldiers that stick out to you out of the group that you remember? If you don't remember their name or anything, just a description, I could probably give it to you.
I honestly just wasn't a fan as a whole, because of what they represented.
I agree, but I think they did a good job of making them not all like the same.
Evil,
mm-hmm. Yes. Because if you look at the scene where they're preparing Selena and Hannah for rape, there's a soldier that's standing there like shocked. I think it's Bell. There's ones that are sadistically like cheering it on. And then there's Mitchell, the guy who wore the like Cold War hat, cap. And he relents when she says, you need to leave the room. And kind of looks back at Hannah and realizes there's a moment there where he looks at her and kind of realizes
what's
this is going to be terrible for this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say they did a pretty good job with the soldiers by making them diverse in that regard. And you get to see they're not a cohesive unit. A lot of them hate each other. And some are sadistic. Some are pathetic, like Jones. But yeah, I mean, Major Henry West, I think, is a huge character that deserves a couple words. Yeah. He's, I don't know if he's out of his mind or what, but his plan made sense to them to repopulate because he believed there was no women around. And so they had precious cargo when they were coming back to the house with the two women.
Well, yeah, because if you think about it, procreation is the only way to further the civil, further people as a whole, right?
I don't think he
would. That's not how you go about it.
I don't think he would have pitched it if he hadn't, like you said, found Jones with a gun in his mouth, though.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he,
desperation and isolation will change what you a normal person would do in a normal situation.
And true. And also the point I want to make is that I don't think he was on board with the raping of the women either. He wanted, I don't think he wanted any part of it personally. He just did it because he knew he needed these men at his beck and call, at his command. Mm-hmm. So because after he gave the order, he got, gave kind of a longing, like he walked out smoking a cigarette, just kind of looked defeated. Like, you know, I know this is wrong, but it has to be done.
I mean, again, for me, the theme is like, don't want to be alone.
Yeah, I could see
that. Surely he could have lived just like Selena was before she met. You know what I mean?
True, but
and survived.
You can't. No, I don't know about the surviving
part. For life to go on, you mean?
Exactly. For the next generation. You know, I think he was trying to build something or maybe not rebuild society, obviously.
Innate desire to procreate.
But think about it. When you're in the military, you're used to structure.
True.
So they need some type of structure. They can't survive without it. There's so many people that get out of the military and they just don't know what to do with themselves.
Well, I mean, to agree with you, look at what happened when West was out of the picture. Mm-hmm. The shit fell completely apart for everybody because Mitchell was in command. He was the next in command after Farrell got shot. And I mean, he didn't know what to do. I mean, he was pathetic. Like, he selfishly grabbed Selena and went into a room, backed into a room and just didn't give a shit about anybody else. Was just like, no, I'm taking this woman with me. We're getting out of here. So you're right. I mean, once the structure was gone, once again, everything fell apart.
Yeah. I mean, I think it, like I said earlier, it was almost kind of brilliant for them to show the breakdown of those structure, the structure of society again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's fascinating to me.
It's just what's fascinating to me is just how insanely threatening the rage virus is. I mean, think about when Mailer breaks in through the window, vomits all that blood on Clifton, I think his name was, his face, and within fucking seconds, he is up and attacking.
And attacking.
It's just, and if you go into 28 weeks later, you kind of get to see how this would completely play decimate out a society. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, from one infected Dawn, it tears the complete city apart again. And it just, all it takes is one drop of blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so potent and just terrifying to think about.
It truly is. It truly is.
I mean, I might have taken the way out of Jim's parents if...
Maybe
if this was real, oh my God, it just is so, I don't know. It affected me too, though. It really did. It got me.
You think you'd bite a bullet and then try and survive?
I don't know, dude. I don't, the idea of being, well, think about the idea of being infected and what that must feel like. If I've read a little bit about it and why they bleed so much, it's why they're constantly like jerking.
Ebola, yeah.
Yeah. It's super boiling. Painful. Mm-hmm. Your capillaries hemorrhage, which is why they have,
cause your blood's literally boiling.
And it's just basically, it's super, your anger is because the pain. Mm-hmm. So all you have a one track mind of infecting or killing uninfected people. And that's kind of leads to how they end up ridding the infection by just letting them starve because they won't nurture themselves. Hmm.
Interesting. So I'm going to take it on a side note here. Mm-hmm. There's a quote that I want to talk about a little bit. So Jim makes a comment where he says, there's always a government. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is so critical to this movie and just to human nature, because there government is a loose term, mm-hmm. right? And if you look at the military folks that were in this movie, mm-hmm. they were a government.
Yes.
They were governed by their Major West.
Yes.
When that social construct of their version of government
broke, It's mayhem again.
They fell apart.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I thought that was a really interesting and really key.
It is.
Quote that. Sorry, Apollo.
Don't wake the Frenchie.
That was in the movie. That goes hand in hand with kind of what we were talking about the breakdown of social constructs, the breakdown of society.
Yeah, I saved this line and it says, in the end, the film essentially opts for the Three Bears logic of civilization. Human contact somewhere between mere survival and the institution is at the heart of every civilization.
Hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, I agree.
Excellent.
I do think it's kind of ironic that he like is in such disbelief. Like, no, what do you mean? There's always a government. It's like it was the last thing he can cling to, that things are going to return to order eventually.
But see, for me, it made sense because when you join the military, they literally strip you down mentally to nothing, to where you are solely reliant on your brotherhood and your leaders telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And then when you get further and further into, if you go into like special training or anything like that, I mean, it's psyops. You know what I mean? They are mentally framing these people's minds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like our friend Christina, she works at the VA and she's like, it's just sad the amount of 20 something people with PTSD or different things that have happened into the military or nothing that happened that get out and they literally do not know how to live their lives because they need somebody to tell them how.
True.
And they don't even know that they can say no.
Exactly. They don't even know. You know, they're just used to being told what to do and being okay with it and accepting it. And I mean,
it's
great if the goal is big government.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that should not be the goal. We should focus on each other.
Mm-hmm. You know? I would agree.
So, all right, Luke.
Yes.
Any other talking points?
Can't think any.
Justin.
Great movie. That's all I gotta say.
Awesome.
Good choice, Luke.
Thank you.
It's probably the best choice you've had so far.
Wow. Savage Land, I think.
I agree with Savage Land, but that was sassy.
That was. We have to add. Come on.
There's got to be some banter. Yes. Okay. All right. Budget and box office?
Oof. 2002,
okay.
Huh?
2002. I'm going to go budget $28 million.
Okay.
Box office $171.
Okay. Justin?
I have a feeling he cheated. He knows this movie way too well. But I'm going to go budget $12 million. Box office $68
million. Budget $8
million. So if you ever needed proof that I don't cheat, there you go.
Which I think is impressive.
Insanely impressive.
With shutting down London on it with nothing else.
Doesn't matter.
Think about
1 o'clock in the morning.
Think about living in London and
but
like
it's daylight. It's not one o'clock. Yeah.
Think about being in London and like your life is turned upside down because they're filming this movie. How pissed would you be? Like,
yeah,
it's like a central location.
Would you even know that it's for the movie though?
No, you wouldn't.
It could be a public works project.
100%. But you now have people that have to block off and man the streets being blocked off.
Yeah.
Have to route people a different direction.
Yeah, but like Andrew told us when they were filming in New York, you know, people, he's like, San Francisco, I'd never filmed anywhere where people, you know, the people who worked in New York had said, when we try and do this in New York, people just flip me off and walk past by and they do whatever we want. And we end up having to find a way to cut them out of the film. So I think it's pretty cool that they were able to successfully do it because, I mean, you literally see nothing, not a sign in a window, like nothing.
Yeah, it was well done.
Nothing. Like there was no inkling that a movie was being filmed. It had to have been something else that was said.
Well, and think about the setup for that scene too. Think about like all the missing posters. Think about like the, just how much garbage and trash was on the ground and the devastation.
Think about the grips who had to set all that up.
It took a ton of work to do that. And it was just so...
And to only have a couple of hours of window of time
to
set impressive. It all up, film it. You have very, very little room for error.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine refilming. Being in charge, how frustrating.
Yeah, it must need a good operations manager.
But it was worth it. Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Don't wait.
On to our ratings. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Justin.
I'm going to give it an A.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like it.
Like I told you, but when he picked this movie, I've always been a fan of it. Mm-hmm. And I was excited to watch it because it had been a long time since I seen it. You know, I don't know why I don't give it an A+. I guess the only reason is because I don't know. I'm not a huge fan when it comes to rape and like stuff in that aspect. I completely understand why it was done in this movie, mm-hmm. and that, you know, the need for procreation, maybe even if it needs to be for some people, even though it's not ideal for me, I can understand why some people may think that. But, you know, if it weren't for that aspect of it, I think it would have been an A+ for me. But I mean, every aspect of it, I thought was very, very, very well done. It was meticulous and calculated, and the symbolism behind it, I think, will last generations.
I would agree. I mean, 20 years since it came out.
And mm-hmm. We just got through, you know, the 2020 version of it. COVID.
Hashtag. Have we gotten through it?
When's the last time you heard somebody say COVID? When's the last time you seen it in the media? When's the last time you seen the daily ticker of how many people are dead? I'm hoping we have.
Yeah. Me too. Mm. Fingers crossed.
Okay.
What about you, Kristen?
So I'm going to be a little tougher on it.
Okay.
I'm going to do a B-. Because.
I think Luke just shit himself.
I know. Because.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Damn.
Because I just don't dig.
The genre.
Yeah. That I don't dig infection and zombie, and I don't dig gore, and I don't dig gross.
Can I just tip my cap to you, though, for committing to watch this?
Yes, I'll take it.
So I admire you, because I know that isn't your cup of tea.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Can I finish my statement first? That'd be excellent. I felt it was jarring and unenjoyable in that way for me. So it's not like I could say, okay, I don't really dig the genre, but Savage Land, I could get through. This was a little bit more jarring for me, and about as far as I'm going to go on a zombie spectrum.
So this is the ceiling here.
That's
for
about
future
it.
Reference.
For future okay, reference. Gotcha. That's so about it for me.
28 weeks later?
I would say that's tamer.
Definitely.
I would be okay with that, because it's part of this.
It's a series.
It's
a great follow-up.
It's Jeremy Renner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm still going to finish my damn comments.
We keep talking over.
Go ahead.
So, I'm not huge on the genre or that, that type of movie.
Right.
Okay. I can't say that I watched it and enjoyed watching it. There's things about it I really respect. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great as a trailblazer. I think it's amazing with the way they did London and some of the scenes and the way that they were able to display emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Artistically beautiful that way. I can't do rape scenes.
I know.
Even if they don't happen, just the lead up to it. So when you guys were talking about that scene and talking about the soldiers, I had nothing to say. I blocked it out.
Understandable.
So for me, important or not, most movies I would have shut off.
I get you.
So I have a hard time getting past that. So for me, just the fact that it was this type of a genre and that scene killed an A rating for me. But I can still come back and say, I think Cillian Murphy was amazing. Mm-hmm. I think his acting performance was stellar. I think he's gold in everything he does.
I have yet to see something he hasn't been golden.
Yeah. True. I think he's just really good and believable. But yeah, so for me, it would be a B-, my friend.
Okay. As far as rape scenes, I get it. When I was maybe about 17, I saw The Accused with Jodie Foster.
Oh God, I'm so glad you said you did not say what I thought you were going to say. Continue, please go.
I don't want to know.
No, what the fuck, dude? I saw The Accused and it disturbed me for days afterwards.
Yes.
So I totally get it. And you already referenced how you understand the importance of having it in the movie, but it didn't matter. It still was something that
I shut off.
Right. And I totally get that. I think the only importance of having it in there was just showing how far we've come or how far we've fallen.
Yeah, I get that.
But I do totally understand, because I have, when you started talking, I started having flashbacks of how I was just so shooken or shaken by The Accused and how vivid and violent the scene was. And I get it. It doesn't bother me to the extent.
Yeah.
And which is why I'm going to give my rating of an A+.
That's fine.
I think this movie is, for the world of Luke, timeless. I think this movie is something I could put on any day and still get all the feels, all the cringe, the dread, the hatred for certain people, the rooting for Jim, Selena, and Hannah. You know, you could see it a million times, but still at times you kind of get so wrapped up. You start, how are they going to get out of this? You know, he's going to go in and gouge Mitchell's eyes out, but still it's like this, he's taking on all these soldiers and he like embraces the rage and murders it. It's just, it was so poetic to me that I didn't even realize she was still with me at the movie. And she hated it. She wanted to leave. Well, she wanted to leave the second she saw blood being vomited. It was just, there was no sex that night.
That was Valerie?
Vanessa.
Damn, I was close. Yeah.
We got back together late in life too, but it didn't work out. Not that that has anything to do with anything, but
hopefully there wasn't any blood being vomited during the reconnection.
Anyway,
So Luke gives it an A+.
A plus for Luke. Yeah. A for Justin.
Kristen, thank you for watching it.
B minus for Kristen puts us at an A-.
Yes, it does.
For the movie.
28 days later.
Would we like to talk about the critics' ratings?
Yes, I'd like to know, actually.
Okay. So, Rotten Tomatoes, 87%.
That's IMDb, pretty high, huh?
Yeah.
7.6.
Okay.
That's the formula you say usually happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. IMDb is usually a little rougher.
So this is 2002. Was there a TV Guide rating by chance?
There wasn't that I saw. There might be somewhere. It just wasn't. I
was tickled when I heard
right?
it.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like that too.
tickles Justin's fancy.
You can tickle it.
All right, kids, signing off. Full Circle Reviews. Catch us next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Brains.